A wonderful joy, as Pastor Jason mentioned, to hear from two of our missional colleagues that work in a local local college. So Chris and Lorraine Harry, I'm going to invite them. Why don't we welcome them forward? Chris and Lorraine have been serving at the Claremont Colleges for quite a few years as individuals who are coming alongside and ministering to students and faculty. And so it's a great to have you guys here to share what's been happening and some of the things that you're seeing God do in the Claremont Colleges. So welcome.
Thank you so much. Good morning. We're so thankful for this opportunity to share about our ministry at the Claremont Colleges. In a time of great upheaval in our country and of dramatic cultural change, especially on the college campus, we're asking ourselves, what is the good news of Jesus to this generation? What difference does Jesus make? And how can we communicate the gospel to the college campus? So this morning, we're going to speak for 15 minutes about three broad ways that we've seen God work this past year through our ministry. So first is building community in the midst of isolation. At Scripps College, which is the all-women school in Claremont, there has always been a high value on relationships and community. But Erin, a sophomore in our fellowship, told us this past year that every day when she goes back to her dorm, every door in the hallway is closed. Loneliness is an increasing issue in our society, and the generation that is the loneliest, according to a recent study, is Gen Z. Gen Z is the generation that follows after millennials, and they have arrived on college campuses. Part of the isolation they experience is due to smartphones and social media, for sure, but also to blame is students' busyness and the fear of the future that they have that drives them to feel like they need to be constantly doing something to get ahead. So being so focused on building their resume and on their future, it leaves very little time for them to devote to relationships. In addition to that, an increasing number of students are struggling with social anxiety. So in our ministry, we're trying hard to counteract this isolation and loneliness and to build community. We do this through weekly community groups, through retreats that happen throughout the year, and through relationships that are built in the fellowship that continue outside of the structured meetings. This past year, we had 9 different community groups that met each week, and I led the group at Pitzer College, which is where I got to know Liz, who's pictured in the upper left. And Liz came to Pitzer to play softball, and she was even the player of the year for our whole conference this past year. But despite being a very likable person and a star player on her team, she didn't make many friends her first year. She would usually take her meals to go from the dining hall and eat by herself in her dorm room. Coming back sophomore year, she was resigned to being isolated, and she just wanted to get through the year. But over the past couple years, she has become an integral part of our Pitzer community group, and she's made really close friends like Polly and Jackie that she studies with and hangs out with all the time. As a group at Pitzer, we've bonded by seeking to serve the campus. So unlike the other Claremont colleges, Pitzer's housekeeping doesn't clean the dorm bathrooms. So imagine for a moment what these bathrooms are like when it's up to students to clean them. Just as Jesus modeled servanthood by washing the disciples' feet, we decided to demonstrate servanthood by offering to clean people's bathrooms. So we sent out campus-wide email offering to do that, and 25 people signed up. So one Sunday afternoon, the 10 of us cleaned 25 bathrooms, and it was a really bonding experience. In the spring, our Pitzer group wanted to do another outreach event, so we did something called Dial a Donut. Any student at Pitzer could text us with a question about Jesus or the Bible or Christianity, and we would bring them a donut to their dorm room and also attempt to answer their question. So our students, along with Jenny, who volunteers, Jenny Yang, who volunteers with our Pitzer group, had such a great time going out and having these conversations with students. Events like these have brought our group closer together and are giving us a way to just break through the isolation with each other and with people on our campus. In addition to isolation, we are in the midst of a mental health crisis on college campuses across the country. In a survey last spring, nearly 40% of college students across the country said they had felt so depressed in the prior year that it was difficult for them to function. And 61% of students said they had felt overwhelming anxiety. We've seen this in our fellowship and our students. We've seen our students hospitalized due to mental health. We've seen many of our students take leaves of absence due to mental health. And even students who might be doing better struggle to help their friends who are struggling with mental illness.
Yeah, so mental health has become an important area of emphasis in our ministry. Last semester, we devoted two talks at our weekly fellowship meetings to mental health. In the first week, we invited Lorraine's therapist to come and give a message about mental health to our students. And in the second week, we had a panel with four of our students and one alumna speaking from personal experience about mental health. Each of them shared vulnerably about things that they were struggling with, things like depression, suicidal ideation, self-harm, hospitalization, experiences like coming out to their families, issues with chronic pain. One student who heard the panelists share told us that she never would have guessed that some of our students had these struggles. And the students who shared were actually all leaders in our fellowship. So it was very significant for other students to see that many leaders in our community had struggles that some of them might also share as well, and that they would be willing to be open about that in front of a big group and just share these painful and challenging experiences. It's been challenging to help students who are so busy and overwhelmed experience the daily healing presence of God. And I'm sure some of us in this room might identify with that. It's hard to find ways to engage with God in the midst of busy, complicated lives. That made us have to think creatively, how do we address this? So here's some things we came up with. Feel free to try any out on your own if you want. We did something we called Focus 28. And this meant that for 28 days, we invited our students together with us to engage in four different spiritual practices, one per week together. And so in the first week, we practiced the daily examine. At the end of each day, we would take a few minutes individually to reflect on that day's experiences, our emotions, and where we were connecting with God or felt absent from God in that time. In the second week, we invited students to unplug. Imagine this with college students, that for the first weekend of the week that people would abstain from social media entirely, and then during the rest of the week that agree to put away the phones during meals in order to be present to people around them and during meetings. In the third week, we focused on rest and Sabbath. This is so important for students who spend every moment, even when they're procrastinating or taking a break, feeling this deep pressure and sense that they should be doing something else. What we invited them into was to daily take 30 to 45 minutes of guilt-free rest, and then to actually take one day a week in which they wouldn't study at all, which to some of our students felt like an impossibility. In the last week, our spiritual discipline was to be aware of God's presence throughout each day. And to help people do that, we gave everyone three rubber bands. You probably have some rubber bands around your house if you want to try this. Three rubber bands. In the morning, you would start with them on one wrist. And during the day, three times during the day, you would try to stop and just acknowledge the presence of God in your life and think about where God was. Maybe say some words to God. And when you did that, move a rubber band from the left wrist to the right wrist. So by the day, they've all moved over. Our hope was not just that we would do these practices together for 4 weeks, but that we'd be helping students to find at least one of these disciplines that would actually be meaningful to them in their personal life that they could continue applying and going deeper in during the rest of their year as a way to interact with God. Finally, in addition to focusing on community and on mental health, we've tried to be a more welcoming and inclusive community that puts marginalized students at the center. We are frankly tired of drawing lines about who is in and who is out. And so instead, we're adopting a centered set model, like the one that Peter was just sharing about earlier, which pastors like Pastor Nate Evergreen have talked about before. So in it's maybe hard to see on the diagram there, but if a traditional model in many churches is to focus, like in that one on the left, on drawing sort of a complicated set of doctrinal statements that determines and helps you define who is one of us and who is not, who is in and who is out, instead of that, forgetting about the lines and focusing at who is at the center, Jesus Christ. And that for us as a community, what that means then is rather than evaluating each other, we become a community that is constantly encouraging each other to draw closer to Jesus from whatever perspective, whatever angle, whatever our background we are coming from. A critical motto in our community these days comes from an old quote, an old Christian quote, which goes, "In essentials, unity. In doubtful matters, liberty. In all things, charity." A year and a half ago, Lorraine and I were forced to leave our jobs as longtime campus ministers with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. The organizational leadership had decided that all employees needed to agree with their traditional viewpoint that same-sex relationships were sinful, or else you would need to give notice and leave the organization. And that experience of being forced out of our longtime organization pressed us to think about how we would like our own fellowship to be a more inclusive and welcoming space where there was room for people who didn't necessarily agree on everything. A place where people could have doubts, a place where people could have questions, a place where they could have various perspectives about sexuality or other issues and still come together to be one united community around Jesus. Seeing how much exclusion from churches has hurt LGBTQ Christians, we wanted to be especially sure that LGBTQ students felt welcome in our group. One first-year student who identifies as queer this year told us that coming to college, she was apprehensive about joining a Christian group because she'd received such hurtful messages in the past from the church. But when she heard that our group had left our previous organization over this issue, she knew that it was a place where she could feel safe and at home and part of it. And just hearing her say that made us feel really glad. We want to be that kind of a space for students. Many of our students, even those who grew up as strong Christians, have big questions about their faith. We want to be a place where you can have questions. Some of these questions are hard, and they're not simple. They're complex. They're nuanced. There aren't easy answers. We want our students to be able to have those questions and to feel like they're not being given simple answers that don't apply, but that we're really wrestling deeply with them. So we had a talk series this last semester called Conflicted, and we had talk topics like conflicted about evangelism, conflicted about scripture, and when Christians disagree. One of our guest teachers, a good friend of ours, gave a talk entitled, "The Problem of Christianity. How did a religion of faith, hope, and love become a religion of empire building, racial segregation, and white supremacy?" It was a huge hit. We have not seen that many new, unfamiliar faces in one of our fellowship meetings in a long time. We want to thank you, our church family here at Evergreen, for partnering with us to invest in this generation of college students. It's not an easy thing to do, and we really appreciate the support that this church has given us. I don't think we would have made it without Evergreen in the last 2 years, so we're deeply grateful to all of you, to the church staff here, everybody. We invite you to please find us after this service. We're going to be at a cart outside. We'd love to talk to you more about what we're doing. We are here most Sundays, if you ever want to grab us and talk to us. And again, thank you for your support. We are looking for ongoing financial support if you want to be part of helping to make this ministry happen into the future. So if you would consider that, we're grateful for that. But however you're supporting us or praying for us or being friends to us, we're deeply grateful. Thank you very much.